more we lean on God, the stronger we find Him to be. You see, one way of looking at it is our weakness can actually be an asset, especially if it causes us, triggers us to lean hard on God. Try to imagine a group of people who've been living in captivity, exiles returning to their land of Israel, and they get back with nothing, and God says, I want the temple rebuilt. Who? Us? You got to be kidding. And then the prophet thunders the word of God, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. The issue for you and I, are we willing to be used when we feel weak and vulnerable and empty, totally depleted? Peter was willing to go back out, sleepy and worn out and all, and see the wonders that God performed. Third question. What has God already placed in our hands? What has God already placed in our hands? You know, it's very easy, and boy, I hear it all the time, to give stock of what we don't have. We don't have this. We don't have that. We can't do this. We can't do that because we just don't have it. Moses, what do you got there? Well, God is just this old staff. It's just like a friend, an old shoe or glove. I've kept it a long time. It's nothing special. I've had it just like a lot of other people have, an old staff. God says, Moses, that's enough. We'll use it to cross the Red Sea. David, I know, looking across that stream there and looking at that fully equipped army of the Philistines with, oh my goodness, that giant Goliath. It looks awful intimidating. David, what you got? Well, Lord, I got this little slingshot that I use to chase off coyotes when I'm guarding my sheep or lambs. David, that's enough. 5,000 hungry people, the disciples are wondering, oh my goodness, what do we do? They don't have the strength to get home. Jesus, what are we going to do? Jesus says, well, what do you have? Well, there's a little bitty boy that brought a little lunch pail along, just a little bitty, you know, lunch pail that his mom fixed for him. Jesus says, that's enough. Folks, it's not an issue of what we don't have. It's an issue of what God by design has already placed in our hands. What has He placed? If we can look at what we have, and I'm not talking about just money in the bank. I'm talking opportunities, gifts, talents, all that sort of thing. Web of relationships. If we look at those through kingdom lenses, if we look at those through a missionary God's eyes, what do we see? What do we see? I want to read to you an article written 9 years ago, in the Clinton Chronicle, about a Thornwell young person, 13-year-old, Alexis Reese. Remember her? I want to quote. This was right after, weeks after, the horrendous earthquake that took 250,000 lives in Haiti. And many more were maimed for life. One of our schools that many of you have visited, La Hotte, was destroyed. Young Alexis, 13 years old, on the Thornwell campus, responded, and this is, I quote from the article, "The school needs to be rebuilt," said Reese. "So I'm asking every cottage on Thornwell's campus to give up a weekend activity and donate the money to Mission Possible to help rebuild the La Hotte school. Our goal at Brophy Cottage is to raise $100 in the month of February. It's not much. But if everyone on campus and lots of people in our community gives up one activity and donates that money to rebuild the school, I think we could do it." Prophetic words. Word got out, and a church on the edge of the Harvard University campus in Cambridge, Massachusetts, heard about it. They sent us a check for $3,000. A church in Spain heard about it and sent $2,800. Students on the Fuller campus in Pasadena, California, heard about it, sent money. Before long, $26,000 came in, and that school was rebuilt because of a little girl, 13 years old, at Brophy Cottage, had a vision that God could use the little she had in her hands. Folks, God's not impressed with big bank accounts. He's not impressed with all kind of degrees. He's impressed with somebody who makes themselves available. What do you have in your hand? Are you willing to submit it to the kingdom agenda? Another question that we can ask of this, are you willing to go where Jesus says to go? Are you willing to go where Jesus says to go? I think the worst possible place that Peter could have gone or to be told is go right back where you've been. Can you imagine that? You know, if Jesus says, Peter, would you mind running up to the house and getting us a little refreshment? I think Peter said, Lord, I'm on my way. But to tell a fisherman who's been fishing all day, all night, to go right back out and do it again, I can just imagine Peter, because he tended to be a bit impulsive anyway, just shaking his head, mumbling under his breath. Boy, I thought this man, Jesus, was somebody. But boy, this is the last I want to hear from him. I can't believe he's taking us, telling me to go right back where I've been, a fisherman, and fish and expect anything after I've fished all night and got nothing. Are we willing to go where Jesus says to go? The first half of my ministry was influenced, as every other pastor, by what we call an attractional model of ministry. It was really based back in the 40s and 50s. If you build it, if you provide the programming, they will come. The church growth model. The idea is to get as many people as you possibly can, sitting in your pews, giving in the offering, come, come, come. That's the model. In the last 20 years, that has turned a flip, and it's a deployment model. A deployment. Are we going? After all, after the resurrection, Jesus looked to his disciples and said, as the Father has sent me, he is a sending missionary God, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. It's very difficult for me to sit put and go, to obey that. The issue is, are we willing to go where Jesus says to go? And, you know, sometimes going back to the familiar can be the most challenging. Sometimes taking the gospel to our own family can be the most difficult. Sometimes going to our own neighborhood, folks that already know us, can be a difficult kind of thing to do. Are we willing to go where Jesus says to go? Final question, are we willing to work with others? I really think Peter didn't have a lot of faith on this venture. That's my own opinion. You could read it differently. He may have had a mustard seed of faith, but I don't think he had much. He was a professional fisherman. He had done everything a fisherman was supposed to do. But he goes back out, and he does what Jesus tells him to do. And I think the most shocked person on the Sea of Galilee that day was Peter when he threw his nets out, and they got so full he couldn't pull them in there, starting to tear. He's hollering for help, and they start putting all the fish in the boats, and the boats are now beginning to sink. I think you're talking about a man who got converted. I think that fisherman got converted on that day. I think Peter said, well, you can read the rest of the text and see that indeed it was a transformative moment for Peter. Are we willing? Because the task is so immense. Are we willing to collaborate with others? Now, I'm talking about to us, we American, we're very individualistic. We're very focused on me, myself, and I. And so collaboration can be a very challenging, very difficult thing to do. 25 years ago, the very small churches in Lawrence County decided to start collaborating for the purpose of mission. And frankly, much of what Bethany does is in collaboration. You know, whether it's going to Haiti or Cuba, or whether it's supporting a missionary in Albania or the Solomon Islands or some other place, or whether it's local service projects or whatever, we many times do it in collaboration with others. And this notion of what we call, Lisa Culpepper started a cluster over in the Florence area, and we've described it as missional cluster. It attracted our denomination's interest. They sent people down to study what we were doing, and now it's one of the three foundational elements of what they promote as church revitalization. Let me share with you a quote from George Gallup. George Gallup, the pollster, the man who does surveys. Actually, his background was Episcopalian, but this is what he writes. Of all religious groups in America today, the Presbyterian Church, USA, is the most evenly distributed family of faith in all 50 states. You are the movers and shakers, the thinkers and doers of the nation. If you were ever mobilized unitedly to accomplish a single purpose, it would have a significant chance of success. If you should ever get your act together for national renewal of faith, America would be far along the road to another great awakening. Historically, when God has been ready to provide this nation with a national awakening, God has been pleased to use Presbyterians as major leaders. Now, all that says to me is we have a responsibility. And so when this notion of clustering was studied by the denomination is now being studied by churches in all 50 states. I'm sorry, people are talking about you. Sorry about that, Catherine. You can smile if you want. They're talking about you. But this is a privilege that we have. The question I would ask again, are we listening? Are we listening? Are we willing to serve from a posture of weakness and vulnerability? What has God already placed in our hands? I mean, don't tell me what you don't have. We all don't have a long list of don't haves. But what has God placed in our hands? Are we willing to go with Jesus wherever he says to go? And I want to tell you, that's not an easy yes. If I were you, I would count the cost before you volunteer and say yes. Are we willing to serve with others? Let's pray. Father, we do thank you that on the north shores of the Sea of Galilee, a fisherman named Peter, kind of a headstrong, impulsive sort of a guy, but boy, did he have an encounter. He found out there was somebody that knew a heap more about fishing than he ever did. And Peter, for all of his warts and failures, was willing to say yes. Lord, as you come to us, whether we feel like we're young and insignificant like Alexis at Brophy Cottage, or whether we feel like we're too old to matter, Lord, it really doesn't matter to you. Are we willing? Are we hearing? Are we ready? Are we ready to go? Oh, God of mercy and grace, the church needs people to rise up. God of mercy and grace, the world needs the church to get with it. Lord, may we be obedient. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our